This is the toughest act in radio following Lunell Willingham. And we just hope now that we can encourage y'all to come back and get involved. That's why we knew we had to go with the big guns. Last Man Standing, new Substack. He's coming out shooting double barrels. Benjamin, my man, on the scene, as the young fella says, boots on the ground. Now, I know you're not you're a very difficult person to impress, but has anyone pick a side, offensively or defensively, impressed Ben Standing out at Commanders training camp?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to be the 80th person, and I've been talking about this for a while, to mention the running back Jacory Kroski Merritt, but I'm going to just say
Isn't Bill? Did he want to just be Bill?
Bill, yes, just Bill.
Well, Bill's fine. Why don't people reluctantly? The man's telling you what he wants to be called, and yet people are forcing to his name down people's throats, and he told you, Bill. I'm never going to call him anything other than Bill.
Oh, no, I talked to him the other day for a story I wrote, and hey, Bill, do you have a quick second? I'm with you. But, like, you know, I'm just, you know, going with the name for now, until, so everybody kind of is aware of who he is. But, look, the hype is too much right now, okay? I mean, we're all – everybody's now latched on. It's training camp, you know, shirts and shorts, you know.
Lingerie.
Pads were on today, but okay, it's still not the same thing. So he hasn't been tackled yet, all that stuff. That said, man, every single day he is making a play or two where you're just like, huh, that is something this team didn't have last year. I think he's, you know, forget Bill. I'm going to start calling him OC, as in one cut, because every time somebody talks about him, that's what the first thing they mention. Boy, he's got this one cut ability. Boy, he plants his foot and he can go one cut up the field and make a play. And we're seeing this over and over again. He's bigger than I think some people thought initially when they drafted him. You know, he's got, you know, good speed in the 4.4 range. And there's a long way to go between standing out here in camp versus actually being a big factor on Sundays. But he's got an opportunity, I think, in part because, like I said, that big play potential is not something that this backfield had last year. Brian Robinson's power, Austin Eckler's got some shiftiness and can catch the ball, but, you know, they're not going to, like, you know, get huge chunk plays consistently. This kid maybe has that potential. We still have to see how he is at pass blocking so he doesn't get the quarterback killed. You've got to see how he is as a receiver and, you know, just dealing with game days, but it's been impressive so far. Enough to say, hey, you know what, you're going to ask me, that's the name that comes up.
And I'm a product, again, of the 60s as a kid, and everything that was big was a running back. So when you come up in that era, and what happens, and now that glamour spot is a wide receiver. But I watched him the first in pads. He accelerates through the hole. You can envision him being successful, like Eckler. To me, Eckler is one of the best football players I've ever seen in person. He is, in a real game, in real circumstance, especially red zone, he's a total freak. And his record shows he's that good. But he's not the guy at this point, especially with the concussion situation, that I need to see during the week. I need to see him big time hunting. I know what he's doing. He's legit. This young man now, and it's so exciting when you get a back that people have, it gives you hope. And we've had some backs throughout, even through the Stone Ages of the last 24 years, the stories that have been highlighted have been the running back. When we had a back that could buy you time, what does a back give you? It gives you an additional possessions. It gives you time. It takes pressure off the quarterback. Now, when your quarterback just happens to be JD5, and now you give the defense something else to focus on, look out. Look out. Because it's always been one guy great at a time around here. You start throwing two or three guys out. Let's say you get Scary signed. And let's say this kid is all that in a bag of chips. Then you got five. And all of a sudden, and then you got Deebo Samuel. Come on, Slim. With Kingsbury? Start booking flights.
Well, that's the part that's interesting is like, right. I mean, Kingsbury obviously had this offense humming last year. Yep. Jaden Daniels, prime reason. Terry McLaurin, the other part.
Yep.
Everything else was like, okay, it's pretty interesting that Kingsbury is getting this done with guys who either had not had such success before, or guys like
and Ertz. And let me slap myself. Ertz was he may never be that valuable to anybody the rest of his life because ain't nobody gonna get him be open this year. He killed people, and he had five has such a trust in him. He's the pacifier for five. He's that binky. And this brother, he really, really came up with one big play after another. And you talk about the savvy veteran. If he was a basketball player, you couldn't post him up.
The very first 11-on-11 today was in the red zone. And I happened to be standing in the corner of the red zone that they were, or the end zone that they were coming at. And, you know, there's 22 guys on the field. Where do you look? You always want to look at the ball, but I'm trying to think, okay, where should I be looking? And here comes Ertz coming across in motion. And I'm like, oh, this is in the red zone. I'm going to follow that guy. And sure enough, the pass, Ertz is coming right to left, turns up the field, cuts back over the middle, and the pass from Jaden, perfect right there at the goal line for, you know, hypothetically a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that comfort that he gets from Ertz is huge, and now you tack on, you know, Deebo Samuel, who should be a souped-up version of what they had last year at receiver between Zacchaeus and De'Ami Brown. And, again, if the backfield is Robinson and Eckler, it's totally solid. It's totally functional. They can work with that. But to get a player who potentially can, you know, give you that home run ball, who's not afraid to run somebody over. I mean, what I wrote about Bill the other day was there was a play in practice, and it was the first pad day, where he sees a hole, bursts up the hole, within the hole, has to make not one but two different jukes to get past a defender. And there's Tyler Owens sitting there on the other end of the lane. Tyler Owens is a huge safety who loves contact, and these two guys went right after each other. And you know, obviously there's no tackling, but Bill kept his balance, kept his momentum, and went going. And you know, you see this enough, and you're like, wow, what could Kingsbury do with this? How can you play off of Jaden with this? And that's why it gets exciting to see this kid. And you know, we'll see what happens on game days, but right now it's interesting.
Yeah, it's called Thud Tempo, and you get a look. Both people benefit from it. Is to go eyeball to eyeball, and you hear Coach talk about it a lot. He's such a good leader as the head coach. He doesn't take the aggressiveness away from the guys, but he gets them to buy into the fact that we don't win if you hit a guy from the side. You can get a hit on people out there. They would never see it coming. But we're not trying to do that to our people. What we're trying to do is we eyeball to eyeball, it's on. But if not, everybody's going to back off. That's why the stats are unrealistic. Because them defensive people could light people up like a firecracker. But what would you get out of it? You hit a guy that doesn't know where you're, and you kill your practice. That's not what they're doing. It is always one jackass that will break that rule, and then everybody's fighting. You remember all the fights you've seen since you've been covering football camps? Think about it. How many fights have you seen with Q?
Yeah, no, I definitely a few, especially when they have the joint practices.
Well, the joint practices are different. That's a little bit different. Now you're messing with – now it's us against you.
Right,
but in
right.
regular practice, it's all family. And how many fights have we seen over the years, all the camps we've covered? It's always fights, right? You seen DQ's group fight?
I have not.
There you go. Bingo. That's a tidbit. Don't tell Willingham because he'll claim it as his own. But I'm just telling you, the psychology of a team is based on his head coach. And this dude is off the charts good. If they back him up and trust him, and he's got to have the injury bug. He's doing this now with his best offensive lineman out. And yet we've got to get a running game to establish ourselves, because the Eagles, they don't lose a wink of sleep over you. Not a wink of sleep. You know why? Because they feel like they can practice against you in their own practice, because they're a guy. See, those people don't have a guy that's a freak, that just athletic. So it scares the hell out of people coming that week up, because we ain't seen nothing like this. The Eagles, man, you don't scare the Eagles. You got to take their heart. And that's why this team, and I think what they did by getting bigger this offseason, this is all for the Eagles. It's a two-man race, the way I see it. It's us and them. And whoever gets there in the best shape, that's who's going to represent the National Football Conference, because there's no joke. Because the Eagles are built in a way, man, that they can just look at you and laugh, because they're not trying to trick you. Everybody else is trying to out-scheme you. Eventually, dude, it's mano a mano, or your butt will be having you hosting your own Super Bowl party, because your damn show won't be there. 4:18 here on the Hoffman Show, DOC. And what do you think about Haney? Are you impressed with his impressed with him as an individual?
Me? Well, look, I mean, Anthony, you know, he's got a cush life being the producer for the Hoffman Show. Yeah, here he is. He's out there almost every day at practice, yeah. In the heat, watching it with the rest of us. So, yeah. Kudos to that. I mean, you know, it's easy to say, I'll go AC over sweating through my clothes, but yeah, he was out there. So yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah.
It is impressive for a young guy to be able to put in the work, you know, and not look at practice as a chore, but actually an opportunity to learn the game and see it being done right. The beauty about this operation is that they are actually doing it right. And we've seen people who do it, whatever, have success. Because you get a couple of dogs on the right side of the ball. And that's why my biggest promise this year is, can you imagine JD5 if this defense matures and gives them extra possessions? You know, refumbles, interceptions, stops, gives him more possessions. That's frightening. Defense got to take the ball away. Killing drives, holding people to three instead of six or seven, and giving him more possessions. That's all I can say. And then I'm thinking the backup. Now, haven't we talked a lot about Mariota? He's got to be as impressive as ever. I had heard very little about other quarterbacks other than five. Who has, if anybody, impressed you?
Well, you haven't heard much about Mariota because he hasn't really done much. He's been out there for the individual drills, but on the 11s, they have not been using him. I don't get the sense that it's an injury. I kind of just get the sense that, kind of like what you said about Eckler, you know what he can do when the game turns real. So, and also in preseason, you know, if you told me that Daniels and Mariota play a combined three or four series, that
shocked.
Might be high. Yeah,
be
I mean, right. So it's going to be a lot of Sam Hartman and Josh Johnson. And it's not so much whether or not either of these guys shows that they could be a potential starter or whatever. You know, it's more about, hey, they have to get everybody. This whole offense has to work together. If they're not ready, if they're not feeling comfortable in this offense with these teammates, then the whole thing is going to, you know, fall apart to a degree. So I think it's a lot about getting those guys some reps. Hartman's had some really, really good throws in camp. He's had a couple of nice rips over the middle.
Okay, now I was waiting. Talent pops out. I'm waiting. Are you going to say anything good about anybody? If not, we can go to 7-Eleven and pick some people up. We got to have some talent. I'm looking for the third or fourth guy to contend. I mean, what happens if five gets a hangnail? I'm not cashing this in on no one person. That's what I'm saying. I'm not hearing no buzz about the quarterbacks. And that bothers me.
Right. Well, again, with Hartman, he's had some really good throws, but he's also had the mistakes that, you know, look, he was an undrafted guy, you know, basically redshirted last year on the practice squad a little bit with the team when Daniels was hurt. But you know, there's some growth, but there's also still, you can see the learning curve is coming. Josh Johnson is obviously the ultimate, been there, done that. 39 mm-hmm. years old, played for 100 teams, including these guys already, and he's here. I kind of think he's here to showcase him. Should an opening up come up somewhere else? Because, like, realistically, I don't want the 39-year-old as my third stringer, in the sense that I would rather the third stringer be somebody who maybe is the second stringer. Next year, you have Daniels and Mariota. If it comes to a third guy, I mean, come on, that's already a tough situation. So I think ideally Hartman is the one that looks good enough either to be kept as the third, or they have him on the practice squad feeling comfortable that his development is improving. But, Josh Johnson, you know, smart guy. He knows what to do. He won't be flummoxed at any level if he has to enter a game.
How many years ago was he down in Carolina and he started? And, no, he's never choked under. It's never been too big for him. But I hope we don't fall into that trap, because we don't see a lot of five in preseason. And so somebody's got to play in the games in order for us to evaluate the rest of the team on offense. I'm not looking for a fireworks show. I'm looking for solid football so we can evaluate other people and get a realistic look. Otherwise, it's going to be a manure show.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think that, you know, they're putting – it's always hard to tell. Look, it's not like I was watching them in camp last year and thought to myself, boy, here's a 12-win team.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaden was good right off the bat. The offense largely looked crisp. But still, you know, nobody saw, like you mentioned, Zach Ertz before, or just, you know, the offense as a whole put – you know, I mean, the fact that they went multiple games in a row without having to punt,
no. I mean,
that's just insane.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to know exactly what's going to happen here. You know, the vets have been – you know, in and out of the lineup, you know, they're trying to keep a lot of these guys fresh, which is understandable. You know, like you said with Eckler and Mariota, like they don't need, some of these guys don't need this kind of work, or, you know, the potential exposure for injury or getting worn down. So, you know, I think they've looked good. The defense to me has had the upper hand for the most part. I think today's practice was more, you know, more 50-50, but the defense has overall had the upper hand. But of course, that often is the case. The offense is like, some days they're just trying things. They're not trying to win the practice. They're trying to, focus on, you know, the other day they threw like 8 to 10, like deep shots down the left side in a row. I think all of them went incomplete, but the point was they were trying to, you know, have their receivers run those patterns, having the defensive backs, having to cover them. So it's things like that you have to factor in. Jaden today had some good work. He found Jalen Lane on a play down the middle. He hit Deebo Samuel deep into the right corner of the end zone. Those two have been connecting pretty much every practice, you know, one or two times where, you know, really stands out what they're doing. So, I think the offense is still a work in progress. They clearly are missing 17 on the outside. They don't have anybody on the outside to really separate. Mm-hmm. I mean, Samuel and Lane mostly work from inside. So that's obviously a concern, but, you know, I mean, so far so good. Jaden has looked the part, and you know, you just keep taking one step in front of the other one.
Love it.
And Ben, before you get out of here, I did have one question. On your Substack, you did a roster projection after the first week for the Commanders 53, and Craig and I did one as well. And I don't think ours look, you know, all that identical. Some of the most notable things that you did, and I don't want to give up the entire Substack, but you only had 2 QBs, you had 3 running backs, and you had 5 wide receivers. That shocked me the most.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So what went behind, you know, you going with 5 wide receivers as opposed to keeping a, you know, a 4th running back or any left and TB defensive back?
Yeah, I had 4 running backs until like the literal last second before I hit publish. It's not so much that like I'm like, oh my god, there's a crazy amount of talent here, how you can't cut everybody. It's just more like, well, I think this young player you'd probably want to keep, and this guy I think can maybe get to the practice squad, you know, that type of deal. So when you look at receiver, I think there's 5 guys that are pretty much locks: McLaurin, Samuel, Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. after that, yeah, there's some vets who've been around, Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne, Chris Moore. I don't know. Osborne had a nice play today. Daniels found him on the outside for a touchdown. But by and large, I don't know that any of these guys are cracking the top four. If they're not, then do I need to use a roster spot for them? I also probably think I can get one or two of these guys to the practice squad, along with, say, a young kid like Ja'Cory Brooks, who's gotten some attention as an undrafted free agent. So if I have like two or three receivers on the practice squad, if I needed anybody, then they just come up, I elevate them for the game, and we're good. So it's more like that for me. Like, those final calls are a lot about who do I don't want to even expose to waivers and who do I think I can get to the practice squad, more than, say, I don't think they should keep six receivers, if that makes sense.
It does. It's good stuff. Now, Coach Sheehan, is Coach Sheehan competing with you again this year? Or is he just giving it up and tried to dominate the schedule?
Right. But look, when it comes to projecting the roster, more the merrier. I just, you know, if you come for the king, you know, you better not miss. No, I'm just kidding.
No. You're the big dog on it. I never even considered it until I heard Standing. And, of course, Coach is doing the schedule, and it takes a lot of energy. And I get it. I really do, because it makes sense. But we don't know who's going to get nicked, and we also don't know who's going to be the camp surprise. Every camp, the best ones, someone emerges. And you go, wow, didn't see that coming. Corner, running back, somebody. And I always think, especially the less the guy drafted after the sixth, seventh, or undrafted free agent, and that really is the thing most people don't count on, and it can change it for you. Standick, do you have a new handle now? Have you changed your handle since you've been doing some career adjusting?
The Twitter is the same, at Ben Standick, but yeah, you can find my written work now on my new Substack. It's also got the Last Man Standick name, as my podcast does. It's lastmanstandick.substack.com, and if you hit the /subscribe, you can join up. You can take a look for free if you want, but I encourage people to give consideration to joining. It's an overwhelming response so far. Doc, it's just been open a little over a week, and 1,500 people have subscribed. So
that's awesome.
Very grateful for that. And
is Anthony Haney on that list?
I don't know. I have not combed through the list to see.
Okay, good.
Let me know
tomorrow. And we'll make sure we'll change that.
Doc, you probably can't see, but it says right here that I am subscribed.
Okay. Oh, see, yes. Look at that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'll be on board too. I will. I can't get enough of Standing, so look forward to that.
I did just subscribe, though. That is
fantastic. Oh, I knew you did. Yeah, I knew you did. Yeah.
Doc, it's still a process, though.
Yeah, I understand. Ben, just keep doing you, man. It's awesome, the level of talent that's out there covering this team. This team might have the most talented group of people covering them in the country. I mean, it's like a who's who out there watching that group. So keep up the good work, Benjamin. Till the next time.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it as always. We'll talk soon.
My man. I tell you what, Ben Standing, man, I love this brother. Because what he does for a living, he would probably do it for free. I hope he never has to do it for free, because he's so good at it, and he's passionate about it. And it's real, man. It's real, real. And we're just lucky to be able to bring that to you. It is 4:27 here in the nation's capital. Super producer Anthony Haney, DOC, in for Brother Hoffman. Stay with us. We got a whole lot more, and we won't hog the mic the whole show. You'll be able to join us. Little. Just got word down the pipeline. Brother Levero, Washington Times, 6 p.m., and the Stallion himself, Ryan Clary, is going to join us at 4 o'clock. Make that 5 o'clock. And this brother is so inside the Nationals that is, we're going to get some scoop, and he's got a feel for it. And, you know, baseball, the beauty of baseball is, I don't know how you figure it out without having some good young talent. I have not figured out, like, the trade game that goes on at this point, It is probably the most complicated sport because of all the moving parts, single A, double A, triple A. And we got over in the Dominican, you got teams all over looking for talent. So when you look at it that way, Rizzo and the boy, they hit a lot. They hit on prospects. It ain't like we were void of talent. It's just the structure came to catch up with them, because you can walk down the street in D.C. and ask people, do you know there's X amount of millions of dollars being paid to two guys that aren't even on their team? Nobody, they don't know that unless they're a seam head. That's what chews you up. You're paying people that don't play for you. And it's nobody's fault for arm goals, this goal, but you're dealing with the results of that. Baseball, it's a monster. Absolute monster. And I got excited 3 or 4 days I've been in here. They won 3 out of 4, 2 out of 8. They seem like I keep looking. Are we going to be able to keep anybody? I mean, do we have people that we can trust? Those are the decisions that you got to make. And then you're making that with people that are sitting in, quote, interim spots. So we'll get the Stallion to clear up a few things for us when he joins us. Who was your baseball team that you followed with your heart growing up?
Oh, I was a National through and through.
Oh, you were? Okay. Yeah. Okay, good.
I'm a true Washingtonian. Like, I support every Washington team there is.
Okay, yeah.
Even if I don't know who you are.
Yeah,
you.
I want them all to win. I find that I have convinced myself that I feel better. When they win, Mystics win, to me it's like endorphins. It's a boost. I'm better. Nats lose, I come down. I try to, my whole rhythmic way of thinking about it sucks to lose. And when we win, I feel good. And when we lost, take a little bit of losses with me. And that's why I like the Mystics so much. Because now Craig was way out there before. Visionary. Hoffman was Hoffman was going out there doing live shows. He was doing stuff before they even announced that Caitlin Clark was coming and they were switching games. Y'all was there.
Mm-hmm.
I give his brother so much credit about that, because now it's going to be a tsunami. It's going to be a tsunami.
Yep.
I mean, were you aware? Like, I saw it a little bit last time they won it all. I mean, we had a champion here in that. I don't think we celebrated them or gave them their roses like we will the next time that happens. But at least you see it moving in the right direction. Summer's coming up. I mean, the preseason, we haven't even touched college. It's like it's coming up next. And I think some of that has to do with NIL, because we really don't know where everybody's at. You know, you just don't know where I don't know where everybody's at.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm waiting. It's going to be – we got some early games that are Civil War-like. Yeah, it's going to be fun. There's a whole bunch to look forward to. And then I like this year that the Commanders are dealing with Patriots and the Ravens, because the Patriots and the Ravens approach football in a physical manner. I am so glad we're not playing a gadget group, because both their coaches are nuts. And both of them dudes, man, are sick, and they believe in hand in the ground. We ain't trying to trick nobody. And that's why I think those practices will really be good. I'll never forget when New England came out to the joint practice back in the old days down in Richmond.
Mm.
And the way they came in, it was like they were militaristic. All the uniform looked alike. Everybody looked. It was. And then this is when we had Schwesinger. Brother, he gonna try to coach Jay. See, I like Schwanger. Jay is a hell of a coach. He just needed a thug next to him to keep the house in order, and he would have been great. I think Jay can still and will coach again. He really should. But he got to put some thugs around himself. That's not his thing. He's a good dude, manager. But no, you got to have somebody in there. Nobody want to even test. You don't want to test them. Who was on his staff? The DBs was telling everybody what they was going to do, what we ain't going to do. I couldn't believe it. I was in utter shock watching some of the stuff that went on during that time. They didn't bust a great, but they were talented. So this year, this personality of this year's team, I'm actually looking forward to the preseason. I know it sounds crazy.
Are you going up there?
No, it's on TV. It's on TV.
Oh, you're gonna go to the. Oh, you're gonna watch the preseason game.
Yeah.
The game. I thought you were talking about the joint practices.
No. That'll be TV too. YouTube. Everything's on YouTube. Everything's on.
The joint practices,
dude. You been on YouTube lately?
Yeah.
Okay.
They weren't on there last year.
Watch this year.
All right.
The command. I mean, you know,
whenever you get the link, let me know.
I will do that.
Say no more.
Yeah, I will do that.
That's all I need to know.
You can. It's going to be. I love the control practices. Seeing J.J. Watt. When J.J. Watt was with the Texans. Yeah, man, it's good. That's why back in the day, Steve, I think Buckhead used to do, when Five had it, we were taping scrimmages. We went up to Latrobe. You know who Joe Gibbs and company, you know who we scrimmaged back in the Stone Ages before color TV? Baltimore Colts and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, y'all were going into the season ready for war.
Thugged up. And there's nobody better than to go in the Steelers. Back in the Colts days. Man, it was. And that's what DQ is all about. That's why I'm so glad that we got the group we have. And you know you're there every single day. You know DQ is fired up. You see the assistants?
Before every practice.
And during the practice. You just love to be coached by people that are not in zombie state. And it's a good thing. And it makes a difference. You know how it is. As an athlete, you're tired as all get out. And somebody is encouraging. They're not screaming, cursing you out. They're building you up to get your job done. It's a difference. It really is. So I give them high marks on that. 301-230-09 out. 80 K9 call is out. Let's start off. Boy, laps always first. How does brother get in the front of the line every day? Every single day. This brother's always first in line. K9 for life. Lap, what up?
Hey, what's up, Doc? Hey, Southeast Ant, what's up, bro?
Southeast Ant.
And you was on the south side from, of D.C., you know what I'm saying? It's my brother. So, okay. That's how I think. We have to fill you in one day.
I can't wait.
Doc is in here crying laughing.
Yeah. So, I'm telling Lunell, man, I wanted get going, man. Get this thing out of the way, man. It's just like I'm tired of hearing about it.
What are you talking about, Lunell? Who is Lunell?
Yeah.
Oh, BTP.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Youngest in charge.
Well, no, he's not the youngest in charge. Toby Altizer is that. And I'd appreciate it if y'all would get it straight.
Yes, sir. Okay. We got to work on that, man. But, yeah, with Terry, man, I just think they just need to get it going, man, and get it done. Tired of hearing about it. It was good to see that the team was in practice again, you know, with the pads and the offense looked pretty solid. And some of the receivers out there, I heard KJ Osborne and Lang, you know, made some plays. So it's good to see that. Like you said, Doc, people that's on the field, you know, that's what you'd be worrying about. But it's hard not to root for and pull for Terry. So we'll have to
see. No, I'm a big
fan. I'm gonna get it together, though, man.
Love Terry, but you got to pull for the guys that are on your team playing. Otherwise, you've lost sight of this whole thing. Because they can sign Terry and give him $35 million. turn his ankle, he ain't playing, he's no help to you. Somebody got to play the position. Yeah. We need two or three people. They can get the job done. I stay out of the politics. I stay out of the negotiation. I'm not his agent. It does not have me on payroll. Because to me, if you're under contract, eventually your behind will be on the team. If not, you demand a trade and you move out. We already know. The brother from Cincinnati just got punked. He had to drive all the way back from Florida and pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. What the hell are you thinking? Giving away $50,000 a day and they've given you a natural out by saying you can stay in? Are you serious? Dude, I can't even envision giving away $1,000, let alone $50,000. Come on, man. That's insane. But do what you
got
to do.
Yeah, they got to do something with that, Doc, man. You know, it's a lot of people that's less fortunate, man. They just blowing their money like that, man. People without.
But it's their money. It's their money, and they can do whatever the hell they want to do with it. But you see, both of them came in, right? Both of them came in.
True that.
Yeah, okay. So we know what time it is. Yeah. And I'm not getting involved in it. I don't pick a side. I just go, do you. Take care of your family. If you want to turn down X amount of millions or whatever, that's your prerogative. But I got a game I got to get ready for against the Giants. Either you're going to be there or you're not. I'm not going to stop rooting for them. If nobody's out there playing, I'm rooting for the colors.
Yes, sir. True that.
So we'll see what happens. But see, y'all listen to Linnell and keep crying about who's there and who's not there. I don't give a damn about none of that. I care about who are the starting 11, who's going to play, who's going to make a play. And if Terry's not there, you damn well better play as well as he did or you shouldn't be out there. That's their responsibility to get somebody ready to play. Appreciate you, dog. Hey, going to Little. All right, Little, let's hear it. What'd you do today? You just cure cancer?
What's happening, legend?
You tell me.
Your man, Ant-Man. Look, no, I got a trivia quiz for Ant-Man.
Okay.
Ant-Man said he like all the local team. And, Doc, you put the pencil and paper down because I'm looking right at you. I'm going to call the name out, Ant-Man, and I'm going to see if you can pick it back off of this name. They call this running back Go-Go. I see you, Doc. Don't write it down, Doc.
I ain't moved.
This man, Bill. Bill, remind me of Go-Go. Now, Go-Go was like 20 yards in front of you, here, cut. And then he get 5 yards
Eckler.
In front of
see,
you,
Eckler,
cut again.
Yeah, Eckler reminds me of Go-Go.
Nah, this boy Bill.
No, I'm with you. Hey, dude, that was my dog, man.
Bill. I look at tape of Go-Go, man, and you can tell him when I get off the line who I'm talking about. I look at the tape of Go-Go, man. Go-Go will make a cut 20 yards in front of you, and then when you get 5 yards in front of you, cut again.
It's the quickest feet I've ever seen.
That's all I got for you, big
guy. Hey, but good deal, man. Hey, man, don't let Linnell beat you up like that.
Nah. I try to run. So, look, we had a running back for the East Capitol Redskins. We called him Kokomo. Kokomo was a bad man, but
I've heard of Kokomo.
He got on that hard stuff, Doc.
Hey, man, we lost a lot of soldiers because of that drug.
I lost a lot of soldiers. Hey, look, it's a blessing I'm still hanging in there at my age, 64. But, hey, give me that running back I'm talking about. We call him AKA.
I'm not going to tell him either. I'm not going to tell him.
Don't tell him. See if he knows.
It's really not fair.
Bless y'all. Stay
okay,
up, big fella.
Appreciate you, Little. 301-230-0980 is the number. Come on, Anthony. I'm surprised.
His name is Go-Go?
His nickname was Go-Go. Your father knows that right off the top.
Probably does.
Yeah, I know he does.
What high school did he go to?
He didn't go to school in D.C.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's from Texas.
What is his first name?
That would give you his whole name.
All right, what does his name start with?
That would give you everything. This brother's so famous if you say something in there.
You can't tell me what his first name starts with. What about his last name?
W.
His last name starts with W?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not Doc Walker, is it?
No.
Okay. I don't know, man.
It's okay. Anthony, you don't have to know everything.
There's only one guy here at the station
that knows everything, okay?
Who
can only
that?
Be one.
Linnell?
BTP.
Yeah. Underscore.
Underscore. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know why Little asked that question. Just because I told him I'm a fan of every team, even if I don't know who you are or what team you are.
No, I'm with you too. I am too.
Still a fan.
Yeah, I think that you have to. Your fandom is that it goes through different levels. I don't.
I'm a casual.
I don't submit or I don't dethrone my childhood following as a Dodger. Like, I mean, I grew up out there.
I hate that for you.
No, man. You know how good. I feel bad for you because I grew up. My teams were winning. They may not win it all, but really? They were in the championship. Yeah. You know what it's like to grow up when the Dodgers are your team, the Lakers are you. Dude, you win all the time.
California is just such a big state.
It don't matter.
That's probably what it is.
It don't matter.
It's just such a big state.
So you went
and then
to school,
you can pick and choose what teams you really want to.
I could have picked the Packers. I could have picked Minnesota Vikings.
You could have picked several teams in that state, though. That's all I'm saying.
No, not really.
Why not?
See, San Diego was the Chargers.
Okay.
They had their own thing.
Yeah.
Okay, the Rams were in L.A. and O.C.
I thought they were in St. Louis.
No, this is your lifetime. Oh. Yeah, dude, they done that. You was probably born when they went there. When I was watching Rams, uniforms were blue and white. There was no gold.
Oh, this is before they were the greatest show on turf. Gotcha.
Oh, absolutely. The greatest show on turf was in St. Louis.
Yeah.
That was bad.
So they went back to L.A.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 And when you have a team ripped away, and I give Al Kokin credit all the time, when I got here in 1980, it was Save the Caps. And it was real. And Al was so persistent. He taught me the puck game. And it was for real. And for real, Langway and all them guys, they were loaded. They had a lot of talent. Beaupre between the pipes. And then I thought, wait a minute. The baseball team had left. I got here going, well, who are these people about? Burgundy and gold. It was like, all they care about. Now, it's not that. They do because the Bullets have won and all that. But this town, mm-hmm. Burgundy and gold. It was no joke. So when you see everybody, it was collegiate. I always tell people, hey, man, you won't believe these people back there. This stuff's collegiate. Because most pro teams aren't like, they don't function like this. With all of the F-ups that we've had here over 24 years, so look how much was left.
Yeah.
And they got 1 year to go, are you kidding me? You see, you ain't even seen it full force. That's what I say to you young people. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because half the base doesn't like what's going on. A quarter, 30% of the base don't even care. If they care, they won't wear the gear. They won't say the name. They won't do this. Won't do that. Wait until this thing gets lit all the way up. You think the Bills, I ain't going to say about the Steelers. Steelers Nation's off the chain. Packers, crazy. Crazy. Bills, Packers. The Vikings I respect so much because they've lost in the big game. They haven't ever won it, but you can't tell by their base. So this tsunami type effect, these people here want you to kiss their behind. They threatening people. I'm not going to follow you. Well, goodbye. Goodbye. Because this younger group is so hungry for real success. Man, if these boys do what they did last year and build on this, this could get back in the top five easily. And if it does, dog.
It's going to be scary.
I saw downtown with posters. Downtown. What major city? Downtown. Lit up like a firecracker. So that's why there's so much enthusiasm. Wait till these boys travel. Madrid. You going to Madrid?
Nah.
I can't believe it. Craig has got to be going to Madrid.
Maybe next year I'll go.
Okay.
If we have an international game. But I was already in Europe this year.
Yeah, you did your European thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that. Hey, look, I did that this year. Maybe if they have one next year.
I think you fit well, though.
I'll be there.
I think you do well. Did you play?
I love Europe.
Did you get involved in anything athletic while you were over there?
No, sadly.
No hoops?
No.
Okay. No tennis? No golf?
Well, I mean, I biked.
Oh, you okay? Well, that is.
I biked around Spain.
No, cycling there is real.
That's all people do. You get on the scooters, you cycle.
Yeah, that's why they don't have rollover belly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they get cardio in.
I thoroughly enjoyed all of the public transportation out there.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. No, it's different.
And the Ubers are like very expensive, but like the public transportation is super cheap. So I'm just like, I might as well just bike all around the city. You get a tour of the city.
You yeah.
get to see some
crazy. You get the water?
Sights.
Did you?
No, I'm not. See, I'm one of those guys that I don't like my feet wet.
Okay, but can you swim?
Yes. Very capable.
Okay.
All very right. capable. Yeah.
Okay. You Fred Sanford type swimmer or you legitimate swimmer?
No, I can really swim.
Okay, you can swim. Okay, okay. Yeah. You think Linnell can swim?
No. Not at all. But in his mind, he can do anything he puts his
oh
mind to.
Oh, my God.
He
of course. Fly. He can fly.
He
yeah.
can fly.
It's 4:54 here at the nation's capital. Lavero is going to be with us at 6 o'clock no matter what you're doing. Make some time for that. Want to find out what's on your mind right now with Major League Baseball. And there's the one and only Stallion, Ryan Clary, is going to join us. The Stallion's my dude, man. He's serious as a heart attack about baseball. You'll find out when we come back.